Blog Talk Radio.
It's my life now or never.
Welcome to The Importance of Your Challenge. We have Michael Luckman on today, and he is going to be talking to us about overpowering the fear of sales. But before we get to that, I'm going to talk to you about a little bit what I do, which is True Colors by Myers and Briggs. And I'm going to tell you a little bit why it's important to today's show. There are four key personalities that we have, and these personalities are how we interact with everybody. They are how we understand our own perception in life. And from that perception, we speak that understanding. So if you have a better understanding of self and where you're coming from, a better understanding how to gauge to whom you're talking to, it makes for a conversation and speaking to people freely back and forth rather than at people. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of a synopsis here onto what the colors are. First, there is the personality that's these are all represented by colors, by the way, folks. So this first personality is a gold personality. They're very orderly, very, very structured. They like routine. They're very good at repetitive tasks and do not like change. They're extremely loyal, love tradition, and why change? For the sake of change. These people, you can hand multitasking over to them. You know, when it comes down to the filing, the paperwork, the I need this person and that person, can you get them for me now? They're great at doing that. And we all need them in every single career that we have. Green personality represents the inquisitive, investigative person who has that facts before making up their mind. They're extremely detailed and a very precise person, one who writes the manuals as well as reads them. And if you cannot present the facts of details, they're simply not interested. Blue is the kinesthetic person. Everything must be feeling-based. If we don't feel it, it ain't right. It's the emotional-driven personality. And if you want to reach them, do it by inspiring, inviting, and sharing your belief. They are the caregivers. They're not driven by money, but they do love beautiful things and they do love a beautiful life, but they're more likely to give away rather than charge. Orange is the action person. I see it, I do it, and it must be done my way. They are the visionaries. They can articulate the creativity and presentation of that vision. If they can see it, surely you can too. They do not have patience, and if it gets boring or it's taking too long, they're on to the next thing. But they can get a crowd totally rallied up in enthusiasm, and they are superb closers. So when Michael shares with you today his wisdom of over 45 years in business, hear it from what you perceive to be your personality, and you will get more out of it. Want to know more about what that? You can contact me later, and I can tell you all about the true colors. But first, Michael has, for the last 40 years, been a great salesperson, marketing pioneer, entrepreneur, and sales trainer. Michael, today, is a successful and dynamic speaker, trainer, and coach. Overpowering Fear is Michael's real-world journey through a career filled with amazing achievements, including the launch of the first electronic toy and inventions like the cartridge video game system, the electronic keyboard, and the see-through advertising product you see on vehicle wraps. Quite an accomplishment. In working with and training thousands of salespeople, Michael came to the conclusion that those who reach the top in sales are those who have learned to overpower their fears and do what is ever necessary to gain the business. Those that don't, and they've given in to their fears, just don't have the same accomplishment. In Overpowering Fear, he opens up his life lessons learned to help you uncover your own fear blocks and overpower them in order to enjoy life filled with confidence, success, and abundance. Mike will be talking about an offer at the end of the show, and he will give his site to you then. But first, let us welcome Michael to the show. Michael, welcome. Very lovely to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah. It's a pleasure to be here with you and your listeners.
Great. Well, we've got a lot to teach people here, and I think it's here's the first question for you, Michael. Is there a one style that fits all in the world of sales?
Wow, that's a great question. Is there a one style? I think there's probably as many styles as there are different people out there, probably even more than Myers-Briggs styles. I have trained people, you know, it's an excellent question, and I'll tell you why. People have always thought that the best salespeople were the extroverts, those who had the gift of gab, those who can talk and sell refrigerators and ice machines to Eskimos. And in my career, I have found that some of my best salespeople were just the opposite. They were more introverts. And, you know, and it is, sales today is a very, very difficult profession, a lot more difficult than when I first got into it out of college in 1967. In those days, you were hired because you had the gift of gab. But today, the best salespeople are the ones that can ask the best questions.
Yes.
And as I was listening to the colors of the Myers-Briggs, I was thinking of the one where you said very inquisitive.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would make the best salesperson today. Because they would ask the right questions of the prospect to find out the prospect's true needs.
Right. Speak to the needs. How do you know if the product is going to fit if you don't know what they need?
Absolutely. That's it.
And the personality you're talking about, you know, gregarious would be that orange personality. And I think they're definitely the people to motivate people into looking at whatever you're looking, you know, the product, because they're the people that really do know how to articulate what that vision is. But I agree with you. If you don't ask the person what they need, how are you going to know whether it fits? Or maybe you need to present it in a different way to their need.
And absolutely.
From your own perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you speak to people who don't see it your way, like maybe from your perspective, or you have somebody has a different need and it's maybe not a need that you understand? How do you actually adjust your speaking to them on that?
Well, I think you'll find this out in the way you question them. I mean, if you're sitting across the desk from a prospect, and by the very questions you're asking, then the responses are not, you know, they don't fit, then it's your best, you know, salespeople only have one thing to sell, no matter what the product, no matter what the service is. That one thing is their time.
Mm-hmm.
Once you spend time with a prospect that cannot say yes or there is no fit for your product, the best thing to do is just tell them that. And just say, from our conversation so far, I sense that there's not a fit between your company and mine. But I appreciate the time. And by the way, would you know of anybody that might have a need for my product? And shake their hand and leave.
I mean, it is a numbers game, isn't it? You're not going to score every time. So it has to fit or it's just simply not right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said something about, you know, your time. Something else that you sell first and foremost too is your personality. Do they even want to do business with you? Because if they don't like you, they're certainly not going to give you that time to listen to what you have.
Absolutely, that's very, very true. One of the things that I taught when I owned a company that trained salespeople, and of course all the people that I've hired over the years that worked for me and coached and trained. What the most important thing that a salesperson can do as early into the process as possible, actually from the time they say hello on the phone, and that is to develop bonding and rapport with that prospect. Because there's an old saying that people do business with people they like. People like people who are like themselves. The more the salesperson could be like that person, the better, the quicker they're going to bond and build that and start building that rapport.
That is very, very true. We you know, we do, because they're, quote, speaking your language. You know, you're understanding mm-hmm. them. So that's very, very important.
Yeah. I mean, when they feel that you understand them, that you're basically on the same page with them, they will be much more open to answer the questions, the probing questions that you're asking. You know, many, many times when I would, you know, train people, and I would say, these are the things to ask. And they say, oh, I can never ask that. The prospect to get it mad at me, and I fear them throwing me out. And that's when I say, not if you've developed the proper bond with them and the rapport. If you do that first, they'll be more than happy and more than comfortable to answer your questions.
Yes. It's that personal thing, isn't it? We don't want to be perceived to be a number or next. You know, everybody wants to be spoken to. You know, they want their identity to be recognized. And
absolutely.
So we do want
that's
it
so
to,
true.
You know, be personal. So
very,
what is
very
the,
true.
What do you find is, you know, other than getting to know people and finding out if it is a fit, I mean, how many deals have been done on the golf course? Quite a number through the years. But for people that aren't golfing out there, what's a good arena in which to approach somebody, or if you're wanting to meet someone and introduce them to something? I always do mine over a cup of coffee. Where do you suggest in today's day? Because it's not about going to someone's office or, you know, in the typical anymore. So where would you suggest that people kind of set that up, and if they're going to meet people for the first time?
Well, if you're going to meet somebody for the first time, your office is always the best. If you can get the prospect to come to you, you're in a much, much stronger position, because they're giving up time away from their office, away from the phones, away from their email, to come and visit you. Now, this is only going to happen if the call that you place to them, that cold call or that warm call or that referral call, if you've done a good job on the phone, you can actually set the meeting at your office or a neutral spot. I mean, there's plenty of times I've met with buyers at a Starbucks
mm-hmm.
or at a club here in San Jose that I belong to, and invite them to the club. I mean, the thing is, you're going to go wherever the prospect really wants you to be. And you have to feel comfortable no matter where it is. Now, if you were talking about prospecting and networking, which I
mm-hmm.
highly believe in,
yes.
I'm an old school salesperson, Sarah, and I believe in cold calling. I believe in networking. I believe in joining various groups, organizations, chamber of commerces, and going to every networking event they have, and mixing. Getting out there, introducing yourself to people, exchanging business cards. But I will put this caveat in there. Whenever you go to a networking event, never, never go with the expectation that you're going to meet your ideal prospect, because you probably won't, and you'll come away very, very disappointed. You go to networking events to meet people who can introduce you to your ideal prospect. It could be the person's spouse. It could be the person's boss, a good friend that they know at another company. It could be their neighbor. So always go with the expectation of getting referrals, leads and referrals, to people that you can follow them up with.
I call that seeding.
Mm-hmm.
I belong to a few networks myself, and one of the ones I think that is absolutely brilliant that we can take advantage of, especially here in North America, are these wonderful meetups. And I don't know if you've seen them. And, you know, meetups are set up by people with an interest, and they invite people with that interest to come and join. And then it's just a, you know, becomes a conversation or sharing or an inspiration. And I think that's an excellent place to not looking at as a sales agenda or, you know, ways of grabbing clients, but joining something you know that you enjoy, that you can share with people. And then while you're sharing about yourself, you're sharing about whatever it is that you're promoting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're basically
arena.
just talking to people, and they get to like you, and then when they find out what you're selling, what you offer, they may say, you know, we were having a barbecue last Sunday, my next-door neighbor, and he's over at XYZ Company, and he told me that they were looking for somebody who had a quality blank, whatever, bought in a widget. I'm definitely going to give you his number. I mean, that's what you're doing. You don't go there to sell. You go there to meet people, to establish a little bonding and rapport, to find out who they may know. That's all.
Introduce yourself. Introduce what it is you do. And there's somebody, I mean, general nature of people is to always say, oh, I know somebody you can talk to, because it's in our nature to do that and to share. I've got a caller on, Michael, so I'm going to bring him on. I believe we have Jim in the line. Are you there, Jim?
Yes, I am. I'm here right now.
Oh, hi, Jim. What would you like to ask Michael today?
Well, I was thinking a little bit about what you guys have been talking about, and what I've been thinking about is, in terms of those networking events and putting all this stuff together. Like, I noticed Michael talking about the sales process a little bit, as you know, pretty well our first steps of the sales process are prospecting and building that rapport as being really important. But now in this modern world, I'm a little bit, you know, kind of confused about, you know, how to put all this stuff together. We got the old and the new, and you know, kind of making this work for me in my endeavors.
Okay. Do you, Jim? Do you go to networking meetings now to build your business, to meet people?
I do. I go on and off, but certain times I'll definitely go a lot more than others. But I'll go for a few months and then I'll drop off.
Okay. Well, what I recommend, Jim, because I belong to a number of chambers of commerce. I'm very active in the San Jose Silicon Valley Chamber of Commerce. And what I found is the more you go to these various networking functions that they have, the more your circle of acquaintances or people that you know is going to grow. And the more that happens, the more opportunity you have for meeting up with somebody that you see often and walking up to them and they're talking to a couple other people and they'll introduce you to those people. So it's good to, I always recommend that when I train salespeople, I always recommended that they go to at least 2, 3, 4 networking events a week. Now, you don't have to belong to every Chamber of Commerce or every Rotary group or every Kiwanis or every, you know, whatever. Oftentimes, you can go and you can just pay a small fee and attend. And I always recommend that people look on Monday in their business section of their local newspaper, because often they'll find a listing of networking events that are happening that week.
Okay.
And then they can also sign up. There's a number of organizations that list all the upcoming networking event, business networking events that are going to be happening in the upcoming weeks. And once you subscribe to that and know it, and just keep on going. But you're going to experience fear. Most people experience fear when they start going to these events. And what I always suggest is, remember, everybody there is there for the exact same reason you are. They want to meet people. So overpower your fear. Introduce yourself. You don't have to come up with all kinds of opening lines. If they've got a name badge and they say that they're a banker and it's a bank, ask them how they got into the banking business. How long they've been in the banking business. Did they get a degree in finance, or did they just sort of fall into banking? Just start a casual conversation, and once it's going, it'll just keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's pretty simple, but we I think because we have all these ideas of selling and the whole idea is, you know, we have to make a sale, that we kind of forget those obvious things that are just normal and are that work.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting.
Well, selling you're right on that, Jim. Selling should be a conversation. If it's not a conversation, something is wrong. It should just be a conversation between you and the prospect, and you should be talking about 30% of the time, and the prospect should be talking 70% of the time. Now, most salespeople have that backwards. They're doing most of the talking. And if you allow the prospect to talk and you ask them questions, they will tell you what they need to see and hear from you and get a feel for that would make them buy your product or service.
I think it's a lot
of salespeople are pitchers, aren't they? You know, they're pitching something or they're enthusiastic about something and sometimes have to dial back a little bit and, as you say, investigate. Investigate to the need and where it fits in that person's life, because sometimes it can just come on too strong. We can see you're enthusiastic about it, but you're becoming a little too pushy. So step back and find out, is it something that fits in my need?
That's exactly it. Enthusiasm is wonderful, but talk to the prospect. Ask them, well, you know, if you've got a product and it's a commodity product and they're buying it from somebody else right now, you know, don't say yours is better. Just ask them, just say, you know, if you can wave a magic wand over your current supplier, what's the one thing you'd want them to do better for you or do for you that they're not doing right now? And then shut up. And the prospect will come back and say, well, I wish their quality would be better. You know, it's just sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. You know, that's interesting. Can you tell me more about it? And the prospect will start telling you more about it. It's not rocket science. It's just a matter of being able to ask questions and to carry on a conversation and get the prospect talking.
And a sense of respect,
and I think,
too. Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
No, I'm just thinking that I guess the awkwardness comes in when you're trying to figure out when to insert business opportunity versus, you know, the basic conversation. And I guess that's where a lot of people get, you know, that's where it makes it awkward. And that's me too sometimes. It's like, okay, so can we get this in here or not? And shouldn't I? So, yeah.
Well, Jim, if you bring up an excellent point, because we're all waiting for that moment when we can switch gears and we can go into sales mode. And what I'm saying is you are always in sales mode, but a very low-key sales mode. You're talking about the challenges, the problems, and sometimes pain that the prospect is going through by not having your product or service. So if you get them talking about the company that they're currently buying from, and they're telling you all the bad things that are happening with their current vendor, don't interrupt them.
Right.
Because the more they hear themselves talking bad about their current supplier, the better you're looking. You know, don't say anything. But you're selling by, it's a Socratic way of selling, where you're actually selling by asking questions. You don't have to tell them your expertise. By the questions you're asking them, they will recognize your expertise. They may even finally say, well, now that I've told you all the problems I have, tell me what yours will do. And now you've got the opportunity to show them point by point how your product or service is better than what they're already buying right now.
Right.
Now, I know those uncomfortable feelings and you're wondering when you can switch it around. But if you just start out asking questions, it'll come naturally. If you get the prospect talking, that's the best thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is wonderful. Did you get what you needed out of there, Jim?
Yeah, sounds like Michael's got a lot of great information, and I'll try to find your book there, Michael.
Well, good. Yes.
Definitely. He's going to be giving an announcement actually coming up now about his site and what special he has for us. So stay tuned. And I thank you very much for calling in, Jim. And
I hope
the answers help you in your endeavors.
Okay, thank you.
So, Michael, thank you, love. Michael, I'm going to give you the next 2 minutes over to you. How about you tell us what you're doing now and your site?
All right, Sarah. Well, as your listeners have probably heard, I've been in sales all my life. And I recently wrote a book. It was published this January. It's available on Amazon. It's in Kindle version and a regular version. It's available on Barnes & Noble, Kindle, like I said, Apple, if they've got an Apple product. And the title of my book is Overpowering Fear, Defeating the Number One Challenge in Sales and Life. And in all my training and hiring and firing so many salespeople over my lifetime, I realized that the one thing that holds one person back compared to another, you can have two people of equal talent, personality, and charisma. One will blow through their numbers and the other one will hit a ceiling. And the reason they hit that ceiling is the one who powers through and does great is the one that is able to overpower their fears. Not necessarily overcome them, but overpowering them and being able to call at the top, call at the CEO level, call where they have to, call on the large accounts, and not let fear stop them. So I wrote this book, and in the process of writing the book, I realized that the book is not just for salespeople, it's for every one of us. Because every one of us faces fear on a daily basis, and we can either overpower it or we can run from it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we run from it, we've lost. We've lost whatever that was that we could have had. It could have been the date with the perfect guy or woman of your dreams. It could be calling on the large company. It could be, you know, just getting a raise or getting your ideas across. So the book is available. It's called Overpowering Fear, Defeating the Number One Challenge in Sales and Life. And my website is overpoweringfear.com. And if your listeners go there, they can register and receive three MP3 audio files, each one 45 minutes to an hour, and those are totally free.
Wonderful.
I blog every day. They can sign up if they want my blogs. And I'm going to offer something to your listeners right now that is of tremendous value. And I do a weekly coaching call. It's called my Inner Circle Club. And if your people contact, your listeners contact me, I will sign them up for free for the remainder of this year.
Oh, that's a wonderful gift.
Which is still, we still got September, October, November,
yes,
and December.
Yes, we've got three full months. Mm-hmm.
We got three full months. It's about a $375 value, and I would love to have them on it. And they can email me by just emailing me at Inner Circle, that's what it's called, Inner Circle, at overpoweringfear.com. And I will put them on the list, and it's every Monday night. It runs for an hour to an hour and a half from 6 to 7, 7:30 Pacific time.
Wonderful.
And
we talk about
overpowering fear in all areas of your life.
Well, that is wonderful, and that's very, very generous of you. And I will also, people, you can contact me if you missed that. It's the importance of you, the letter U.ca. The importance, Sarah at theimportanceofyou.ca, you can contact me. I'm going to have to cut it off now, Michael. We could have gone on for much longer, but thank you so much for your generosity and certainly for all the information. And really, it's like, as you said, everybody's trying to sell something, and it's just really a question, does it fit? So look at it as Lego, right?
So, exactly.
I thank you so
much for coming on. My pleasure. Thank you.
And please, folks, take advantage of that. That is certainly a very wonderful gift. And thank you so much, Michael. Cheers to you. Next week, I have on the show Joanne Skywatcher, who is going to teach us how to remove those sugar cravings by the means of a process called EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. Don't forget to tune in to my show tomorrow, which is important to hear how to find resilience with illness in the family with Dr. Erica Consol. And if you have an obstacle within your challenge that you would like me to bring on an expert to address, please contact me and let me know what it is, and I will get the expert on. So next week is all about getting rid of those sugar buzzes. And I thank you all very much for listening. Remember, if you do have a challenge, let me know. This is an interactive show. I'll bring on the experts for you. You come on and talk to them. Let's find those things that are stopping you from succeeding and from celebrating your challenge. Okay, folks? Have a wonderful week. Join us with Joanne next week. And thank you once again, Michael and Jim, for calling in. Cheers, folks. May your challenge be happy.